Chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. I'm reading to you from the regular King James Version today. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, which with them are other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Y'all listen to this. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Have mercy. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land?" Teaching us how to pray here, y'all. Amen. "Before thy people Israel, and gives it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, God, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Check this out. They're not asking God, "Are you going to do it?" They tell God what they know he can do. God like people like that. God, they ain't saying, "Are you sure you can do it, God?" They say, "We know what you can do, God. We just reminded you that we know." I'm trying to get help before I'm done. Lord help. Ooh, verse 10. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Zair, come whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it." The devil will try to get your own stuff from you. What?
Yes, he will.
"O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are on you." "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mananiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph," they were the priests now, "came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the church. And he said, hearken ye all Judah," this is Jehaziel talking, "hearken ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God." Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. That word "set" in the Hebrew means position yourself. Not just your body, Sister Thomas, but your spiritual mind. Not your natural mind. Because we can go through some stuff, y'all, that make us want to say, "I'm out of here." Some scary stuff. Jesus said, set yourself, position yourself,
yes.
Church.
Amen.
And stand ye still.
Uh-huh.
And see the salvation of the Lord with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, uh-huh. nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to pull my topic right from the 17th verse, the eight clause of the 17th verse. Stand still.
Stand still.
You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord.
Stand
still. My brothers and sisters, one of the greatest misconceptions, deceptions, and fraudulent claims of contemporary Christianity is deposited by those who mount pulpits like me with microphones and would lead you to believe that walking with God is easy. There are those who would teach and preach that with the right amount of faith, with the specific prayer, and with a miracle seed offering sown in the right soil, that somehow you will be granted shelter and immunity from the difficult days of life. But there are some seasoned saints right in here who have been with God long enough to testify that every day with God is not always hallelujah, Sister Thompson. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I understand why it's such a cancer in contemporary Christianity, because one would believe, naturally, that the longer you've been with God, the more you pray, the more consecutive Sundays you come to church, the more ministries you join, the more offerings you give, that somehow your life should be granted some smooth sailing. I know you don't want to hear this, but you would rather me give you some prophetic promise that everything is going to be all right. Church, get happy when pastors say that. I want you to know, as you mature in the Lord, you're going to find the longer you are with God, the more you sense and see God calling you to assignments and ways of living that are neither comfortable nor convenient, that God has a way of growing you through painful predicaments.
All right,
yes.
All right.
Yes,
yes,
He does.
Yes, He does.
Lord, have mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
I remember when I was a young boy at night, I would complain to mommy about the constant pains in my knees, Sister Thompson.
Yeah.
And she would say, son, you're going through some growing pains.
Yes.
It was hard for me to understand how pain had anything to lead to growth.
Okay.
When you're about 12 years old and that's your maturity, you will have a hard time understanding how a loving, omnipotent, and a gracious God can declare that sometimes the only way He can grow you is to release you into painful scenarios and situations that ultimately groom you and grow you for His grace and His glory.
Yes, yes.
I knew it would get quiet around this, so I thought I would bring me a side order of scripture with me to back up what I'm telling you. The Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, Sister Renee, produces patience.
Yes. Yes.
And let patience have her its perfect and complete work, that when it is done, you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let God deal with you while you're, I told you, I stopped praying to get out of everything. James understood that every now and then, the way God grooms you and the way God grows you is to release you into situations and scenarios that don't always feel good. I want you to know that whenever you are in a struggle of life, Brother Andre, you are also in God's classroom.
All right. Yes.
Help me, somebody. God is trying to teach you something. You're struggling financially because you're in God's stewardship class. Uh-huh. You can't renege on tithes and think you ain't gonna struggle. Sorry. If you're struggling with offense and heartache because you are in God's class on forgiveness and not living in yesterday, You're struggling with sickness because you're in a class of Jehovah Rapha, who wants to teach you, I'm the healer of your body and your disease. I don't know what class you're in today, church. I don't know what lesson you're going through. I don't know the test you are taking. But I'm trying to tell you one of the most difficult classes that all of us have to sit in, all of us will have to do and walk through, is that class called Stand Still.
Come on now.
Come on. That's a tough one, y'all. If you have not done that yet, life will bring you to a place. Will you hear the command of God in spite of everything you want to do? The word Lord tells you, stand still. That's the class Job was struggling in. And Eli told him, God wants you to stand still, Job. That's the class Joshua was in. And when, as they crossed over the Jordan River, and God said, stand still, Joshua. That's the class Moses was in as he stood at the bank of the Red Sea with Noah in front of him and Pharaoh chasing him from behind. And the word of the Lord was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you've never been in that class where you have to learn to stand still, I want you to see a brother who was. His name was Jehoshaphat. He is the king of Israel. In the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we find out that a battle is about to ensue. And Israel has got to go to war. Now, this is not new for Israel. They have been in battles before. But there's something peculiar about this battle, Andre. The Bible says Jehoshaphat finds out that the Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, who have hooked up with the people from Mount Zaire, who have also called out the Edomites. Don't miss this, y'all. It's not just one enemy. The Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, who are hanging out with the Edomites, and they all are coming together against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat is fearful. We have fought battles, he said, but we have never had a battle like this. We have never seen an enemy of this multitude and this magnitude. We have never seen a coming together of enemies against us like this. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat doesn't know what to do. And when he has got some more questions than that, when you got more questions than answers, when there's no military strategy, when there seems to be no way to deal with it, here is what Jehoshaphat does.
Come on now.
He calls all of Israel together, proclaims a fast, and says, let's seek the face of the Lord. When you're going through hell every now and again, you don't need to listen to Dr. Phil. You need to listen to Oprah. You need to call the name of the Lord. Let me pause and preach right here.
Jesus.
But you don't know what to do. If you know how to bow and call on the name of the Lord, that's a mighty good strategy for any battle. I wish I had a prayer warrior in here that knows. We need some prayer warriors over here. There's some moments you have had more questions than you had answers. But as long as you trust it in the Lord and call on the Lord, we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. Jehoshaphat prays that God answers. God speaks back to Jehoshaphat. He's an prayer answering God. He will not let you go unanswered. God speaks back to Jehoshaphat, Sister Angela, through a brother by the name of Jehaziel. Jehaziel comes to Jehoshaphat, says, listen, I got some good news and some bad news. Here's the good news, Jehoshaphat. You don't have to fight in this battle. You don't have to break a sweat. You don't have to worry about anything, because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now, y'all quiet because y'all thought that was good news for Jehoshaphat, but that's great news for you too.
Thank you, Lord.
It is a prophetic promise that that we serve a God who's able to step, Edwina, into every battlefield you are and handle your enemies for you. And any enemies that come together are about you.
Yes.
Hold on a minute. I feel like preaching right there.
Come on now.
There's a God who handles your enemies. There's a God who fights your battles.
Yes.
There's a God who makes ways for you.
Yes.
There's a God who makes certain you just sit down and enjoy the show.
Yes.
Let God do what he does, y'all.
Yes.
I get no wrinkles in my little forehead. I'm not trying to look no older than I already am. Excuse my grandma.
Uh-huh.
Why am I worrying about something I can't change anyway?
Yes.
And my God has spilled over on the outside of me so much, I'm beginning to make people that I work around think I just have a don't care attitude. No, it's not that I don't care. I don't worry about stuff I can't change. It's been about, I've read my God's resume. Can I hang out here a little bit? I read his resume, Deacon Drake. His resume with me is that all through my past, in my history, can I get a witness here?
Yes.
In times when I used to worry, Deacon Fetterer, when I used to stress and me don't lose some sleep at night, when I used to eat, I don't stop eating for nobody no more. When I used to push back the plate because I couldn't eat, I was so stressed out.
Okay.
I found out worrying didn't get me nowhere.
Yes.
When I read God's resume. I'm trying to find the word failure up in them. He may not have came when I wanted him. But he always was on time. God to fight your battles. It's God to show us on the battlefield.
Yes.
He's a battle-fighting kind of God.
Yes.
That's some mighty good news to me.
Yes.
He will fight your battles and my battles. The bad news God tells Jehoshaphat through Jehazfield is this. Uh-oh. You know God always got God in a sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
Oh yeah, he don't just let you get away like that easy. No, he gonna make you work your faith.
Yes.
He wanna see how obedient you gonna be.
Uh-huh.
He gonna see how you really trust him.
Yes.
Oh, you say you're a Christian and you ain't got a shout in church now, but you got to stand still.
God
said, I will fight your battles, Jerusalem.
Yes.
But you have to stand still.
Yes.
What you saying? What?
Yes.
Realize, if you want me to handle this, you have to stand still, he says. The Hebrew phrase for stand still means stop moving.
Come on. Yes.
Don't do nothing. Don't do anything, Tracy. Don't respond. Don't put your hand on it. Don't try to fight it yourself. Just stand still. Cool, that God.
Yeah, right.
Now, I got a relationship with my God. I don't know you. But when he tells me some stuff I ain't getting, I say, hold up, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I want to do the right thing, but I can't explain something to me. Stop moving. Don't put my hand on it. Just stand. Hold up. When I got enemies circling me,
yes, sir.
You want me to stand still. When folk are acting a fool, you want me to stand still. You are holding an eye on God. You want me to just stand still? It it's hard to stand still when false accusations are being raised against you. It's hard to stand still when lying lips are talking against you. It's hard to stand still when enemies are plotting your demise and your destruction. It is hard to stand still, Deacon Dre, when people are manipulating and dealing in the dirt with you. It's hard to stand still when you got crazy co-workers, satanic supervisors, kinfolk that you just want to slap on general purpose.
Don't say nothing, don't do nothing, just let them do what they are going to
I'm going to have to do that, Pastor. You have to persuade me that's the right thing to do. I can do it. Here's the reason the Lord tells Jehoshaphat to do it. Let's see if you catch it. When the Lord is telling Jehoshaphat, look, listen, even though the Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, listen, y'all, and they have the Edomites, no matter who else they hook up with, I'm on your side.
Okay.
I'm loving this thing, Andre. I don't care who they hook up with and who they got, how big they are, I'm on your side. You have to know, church, as long as God is on your side, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If the Lord be for us, who can stand against us? He can take what is meant for your evil and work together for your good. I wish I had a Bible right here in church. Fret not thyself for evildoers. It'll be the enemies of the workers of iniquity. When they shall soar, be cut down like the grass.
Come on now.
And wither away like a green herb. The Bible said, the Lord is my life. And my salvation, of whom shall I fear? You don't need to be afraid if God is on your side. Listen, listen, listen. The reason I don't want you to be afraid is I'm on your side. And whatever they do, they can't beat me. God said their allegiance is foolish. Because they can't beat me. Hear me, beloved. Evil is mean, but it's never smart. Did I say that right?
That's right.
Evil is mean, but it's never smart. Evil is wicked, but it's never wise. Evil always has a flawed strategy.
Yes.
Evil always has some inconsistency. So the Lord says, I want you to stand still because you can't out evil evil.
Okay.
All right. All right. But you can't outthink it. You can't out ugly ugly, but you can be smarter than it. And if you stand still, evil will always reveal its foolishness. Evil will always reveal with a hole in its thinking it. If you stand still, the Lord has a way of revealing to you the flaw of the strategy of those that are trying to destroy you.
All right.
He does that. It's like, let me give you an analogy. I can illustrate this irrefutable fact. Y'all ever notice a moth at nighttime is on a bare light bulb?
Yes.
The moth flies real close to the light bulb. He'll bounce off it, but he never grab on to it. He bumps off his heart. The light, you know the light hot because you can't hold it. But he bumps off it. You got to learn how to walk close to the frame.
Okay.
Oh, y'all ain't got that.
Okay.
Walk close to the frame, but don't let the flame burn you. You come real close, that's what God said. Stand still. Just stand still. He said, I know getting caught. He said, you might walk through the water, but it will not drown you. You can go through the fire, Sister Tommy, but it will not burn you. He said, I understand that your enemy go rushing on you like a flood. But he said, that's for me, God, Jehovah Jireh, will raise a standard. Stand still, the Lord has a very real and the flawed strategy of the evil. And you can thank God he is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Yes.
And if you are a sound mind, Y'all with me?
Yes.
You can see the flaws in the strategy of the ones who are trying to destroy you.
Yes.
Or your circumstances, situation that's trying to take you out. When we mad and getting going off the deep end,
that's
we
true.
Do stupid stuff.
Yes.
Make decisions that we don't gotta. No, relax yourself and rest in God.
Yes.
Chill. Don't let the devil see you sweat.
That's it.
You got to train yourself, soldier of God. And you want to know who is running their mouth? Stand still. The Lord will show it to you.
Yes, it will.
You want to know why the weapon form won't prosper? Stand still.
Come on.
And the Lord will reveal it. God said, just endure the evil and stand still. No, I want you to endure the evil. I'm going there. And I say, I want you to stand. When I say stand still, it also means resist, Andre, the reflux for revenge. Resist the reflux for revenge. I know your instinct is to get even. The Lord said, I want you to resist your natural instinct for revenge. Let me tell you what is problematic about these enemies that are coming against Jehoshaphat. Listen to this. The problem with Moab, Ammon, and Edom coming against Jehoshaphat is this. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and began their conquest to the promised land, these are the same people that the Lord said don't destroy. Israel could have easily destroyed Moab. Could have destroyed Ammon. Could have destroyed the Edomites. But the Lord told them not to. So Jehoshaphat is wondering, we spared you when we could have killed you. And now you are repaying us by coming together to take from us. Listen to me, Tom. This is what I'm saying. To take from us what we should have that God gave when we were nothing but kind to you.
Yes.
I got a problem with the enemy getting mad at me because God blessed me with something.
Yes.
I didn't bless myself. God gave me. All good things come from God.
Yes.
I know I look like I'm real strong, but no, I'm not. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Now you mad because you think I got something, but you don't know how I got what I got. You wouldn't have been nice to me when I was tears and coming down my face. You were not in my struggle. So why are you getting mad with me? Loving is one thing when you know why folk hate you.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one when you have been nothing but kind.
Yes.
Loving and compassionate.
Amen.
As you can, yet they still speak against you and try to destroy you.
Uh-huh.
I don't care how holy you are on Sunday.
Okay.
When people pay your kindness with revenge and seek to destroy you, you want to get even.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord says, stand still. Because when revenge is your motivation, listen to me. Watch me. Listen. Rock. When revenge is your motivation, God is no longer your inspiration. Preach, black man. When revenge is your motivation, God is no longer your inspiration. Because revenge reveals your lack of faith in God. When you are operating in revenge, you are not operating in faith. Faith says, whatever you do to me, I got a God who sees and knows. I got a God who will handle my business. I have a God who will bless me in spite of what you try to do to me. I got a God who will handle the folk who are trying to handle me. Which is why he says, vengeance listen, I want you to resist the reflex for revenge. Because even though you are spiritual, I know you and you want to get even. Because we go to church, we sanctify, we put some scripture on it. Do unto others, yeah. That's what the Bible says. Do unto others as they do unto you. The Bible says, the Lord says, endure the evil of your enemies.
Yes. Yes.
Number two, resist the reflux for revenge.
Yes.
Watch this third one. When I say stand still, God says, I want you to stand in a sanctified space.
Yes.
Stand in a sanctified space. Watch it goes down. Jehaziel tells Jehoshaphat, if you want to see God, fight. You have to stand right here. You can't stand over there because that is not where God called you to stand. Hello? Someone's trying to stand in the wrong spot.
Come on, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Do I just say stand in your lane?
Help me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You can't stand over there because that is not where God called you to stand. The Lord says stand here if you want me to fight your battle. Because the command of the Lord is, I want to see my you fight my battle. Because one, the command of the Lord is, I want to know, will you be obedient when others are being evil? That's hard though.
Yes, it is.
That's a real word because the evil, the devil convinces you when someone has been evil that you can adopt a Malcolm X philosophy, Brother Hudson.
Yeah.
You know what Malcolm X said, Rob? Any means necessary.
Yes.
All right.
I'll deal with you with any means necessary. That's Malcolm X said. That's the philosophy the devil wants you to adopt.
That's what he wants.
And that God has ordained you to do whatever you're thinking in your mind you're getting ready to do. The Lord said, even when people have done you wrong, I need you to stand right here. Stand still. I need you to stand in love when they're operating in hate. I need you to stand in compassion when they're operating in ugly. I need you to stand in truth when they're operating in lies. I need you to stand in righteousness when they're operating in ungodliness. I need you to stand in kindness. I don't want to do this, but
come on, Pastor.
If you don't stand when the Lord calls to stand, you cannot see God fight this for you.
Yes.
God can't fight for you if you stand in darkness.
That's right.
Woo!
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God says, Angel, God says, endure the evil of your enemies. I want you to resist the reflux for revenge. I want you to stand in a sanctified place.
Yes.
Finally, watch this. Lord says, watch this. Lord says, when I take a stand, this is my last one, I'm out of here. It says, prepare. This is going to be good, Deacon Freddy. You're going to like this part. Prepare for the performance of God's promise.
Come on,
yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus. Amen. Prepare for the performance of God's promise.
Yes. Yes.
Get yourself ready to see God move.
Come on now.
Amen.
This is what Jehovah has said. Lord, we don't know what to do. Never seen it like this. Never had it this rough. Never had this many enemies. But this much we know.
Yeah.
Our eyes are watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the book, right?
Yeah.
We're not worried about them anymore. We are watching God because we believe that before this thing is over, the Lord is going to show up and the Lord will make a way out of nowhere.
Yes.
Let me share the story with you about God. I'll make this thing real plain. Oh, back in the 80s and 90s, Andre, Brother Hudson, I'm really not a basketball fan, but I know about this. There was an awesome basketball team called the Chicago Bulls. I know we're Heat Country. But I need use this team to illustrate my irrefutable fact that I'm trying to put across to you. Not only was this team awesome, but it had a phenomenal basketball player.
Yes.
By the name of MJ, Michael Jordan.
Yes.
I feel that Michael Jordan probably is the greatest basketball player that has played the game.
Yes.
Let me tell you how phenomenal Michael Jordan was. Jordan was such an awesome basketball player, Reverend Lyles. Whenever he played, and NBC aired the games, just like it is, NBC changed their production protocol for airing an NBA game. Any other game, they had a certain number of cameras on the floor. But when Michael Jordan was on the floor, they hired an extra camera whose only job was to keep that camera on Michael Jordan at all times. Even when Michael Jordan sat on the bench, Deacon Drayton, and was not playing, the camera was on Michael Jordan. When the executive director of sports program of NBC was asked, why do you have a camera solely dedicated to Michael Jordan? This is what he said. Because he's so phenomenal that we know, listen to this, we know before the game is over, he's going to do something magical.
Okay.
And we don't want to miss the magic of Michael.
All right.
I came by to tell you this, I'm out of here.
Uh-oh.
If NBC can keep a camera on Michael Jordan, they should. You ought to be able to keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
And believe that no matter what the battle is, before it's over, if you stand still, the Lord will show you what you need to do. If you stand still, the Lord will reveal the necessary strategy needed to defeat the opposition and destroy the enemy. Jesus took out the devil. I'm out of here.
Yes.
Jesus stood still.
Yes.
Did he stand still?
Yes.
I know y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes.
Andre, he stood still.
Yes.
How you know he stood still, Pastor?
Yes.
Jesus stood still. How he stood still? He came down through 42 generations. He wrapped himself in flesh, swaddling clothes, laying himself in a manger. Let the wise men bring him gifts. He was standing still. He got on the throne, stood still. He walked the earth, y'all. 30-some years. Walked on water. Healed the sick. Calmed the raging sea. Opened the blinded eyes. And he was a moving, healing Savior. But one day, they came to God in Gethsemane. And arrested my Jesus.
Yeah.
He did no wrong.
Yeah.
It was a frame up.
Yeah.
Peter, bad Peter, cut off one of the guards' ears. Jesus said, Peter, don't you see what I'm doing? I'm standing still.
Yeah.
He said, don't you know, boy? I can call a legion of angels.
Yeah.
And they'll come here and take them all out. For a reason to stand still. I said, Lord, I know the story. He said, but that ain't the whole story. They arrested my Jesus, took him to Pilate. They whipped him all night long. He stood still and said not a mumbling word. They beat him, spit on him, and then they took him to Golgotha. They took him to Calvary, Sister Angela. He didn't try to get away. He didn't try to go back to heaven. He didn't try to fly away with some angels. But Jesus, he just stood still. He laid down and let him nail his hands to the cross. And they let him, he let them nail his feet to the cross. Deacon Fuller, you're feeling me, aren't you, Deacon Fuller? I know you can see what I'm saying to you. And the Bible says that he laid and they stuck a sword in his side. And they said they messed up those struggling lives because they lifted Jesus up. They lifted him up on the cross. And the Bible says, if they would just lift me up, the moon turned to blood. He stood still till the stars go from the sky. He stood still till the dead got up in Jerusalem. Can I get a witness? He stood still till all the sin of the world was on his shoulder. He stood still. He stood still when he asked his father, 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 why have you forsaken me? He stood still while he said, no man taking my life. I lay my life down. He looked at his daddy and said, Father. Somebody say, Father. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And he died.
He died.
He died. And he stood still for more deacons ran. Because they put him in a bar and tore. Jesus could have called yourself back to life. But he stayed in the tomb, Sister Angela. All Friday night. He stood still. All Saturday night. While they feel right. He stood still. But Jesus will fix it just like I'm saying. Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord.